Well, good morning, LifePoint Church. Good to see you here today. Thanks for being here. My name is Lee, and I serve as a teaching pastor here at LifePoint Plain City, which means I get to do the majority of the teaching here, and just really glad to have you with us. We are finishing up our series that Blake shared with you called WOW. It just stands for Wide Open World. And here's the reason why we call it that. Several years ago, right around when LifePoint was getting started about 20 years ago, we have really wanted to be a part of joining in God's activity. It's really a conviction that we have as a church that we believe God is always at work, that there's not a moment that God is not trying to work and bring about the advancement of his kingdom, of seeing people rescued from sin and delivered and experiencing new life. And so we want to go and help share that message. And so we believe God is at work, and we want to find where God is at work. And in the midst of that, Dean, our lead pastor, had connected with a missionary in South Africa. And a statement that that missionary shared has really just stood out and has stuck with us over the years, that this missionary said that the world is wide open to the gospel. And really that reality, that it just communicates that this good news about what Jesus is doing, he told his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we really believe that God is going before us and working in people's hearts and helping us as we want to go and share about him with others. So that's what we do each year. We just take a few weeks in the middle of the year to kind of talk about what does it mean for us to join in that activity so that we could go and make an eternal difference in the world. And so that's where we talk about our WOW series, Wide Open World. And really, when we talk about this, we get a chance to culminate this series in what we call as our WOW offering. It's where we just want to set aside a portion of our giving, which is usually above and beyond our normal giving, to set aside to give specifically towards mission work. And you'll see before me, we have some tens that our LifePoint kids got a chance to be a part of that. And so if you've got kids, they maybe brought some tens or had some tens with them. And it was just a way to involve not just the adults, but even children in being a part of that. And now that they've stacked them here, the juvenile side of me wants to see how high we can get them and see if I can jump over them, like, you know, a little obstacle. But in my mind, that's a very bad idea. But that's where my head goes in that. And so, but as we're talking about wide open world, the way we've been talking about it each week is that the gospel is why we go. The gospel is why we go. And the gospel is just, it's a declaration. In the same way you read a news headline, you read something on social media, and it's kind of have a headline about what an event that's happened. Gospel just means good news. It's a declaration, a proclamation of an event that's happened, that there's something good that's happened in the past that affects your present and your future. And it's the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we believe that's good news, not just for us in this room, but for everyone in the world. And we want to be about sharing that good news. And so we've talked about the first week was really kind of the why. Kind of, if the gospel is why we go, what's really the motivation behind that? We talked about how there's a burden for people in our lives that don't yet know Jesus, that we want to see them come to know and trust and follow in Jesus. And that motivation, that the gospel that saves us also sends us. And then last week we talked about, well, what's this gospel message all about? Well, what is so good about this gospel? And we said, because the gospel is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he has done for us and making a way for broken, messed up people like me to be able to be made right with God. And so because of what Christ has done. And so today we want to talk about if that's this reality, that we have a motivation and that there's this good news about Jesus, this really kind of in essence means that we want to go and help share that with others. And that's kind of where the text goes. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, you can go ahead and open up and turn there. If you've got it on your phone or a tablet, you can flip there. Also on that QR code on the seat back in front of you is message notes where you can follow along with my notes from the message. You can make notes to yourselves. The scriptures will be in there as well. And we'll have them on the screen for you to follow along in the midst of that. But before we jump into Romans 10, I'd love just to pray for us as we dive in together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. God, thanks for the opportunity we have to gather together, that we all walk in the room here today, either, Lord, going through something, we're in the middle of something, or God, things are just going great in our lives. But the good news is while I have no idea what's going on in everybody's lives, you do. And so I just pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would communicate to each of us, God, what we need to hear from today. That it wouldn't just be my words, God, but it would be your words. That would be what begins to transform people today. And so maybe walk out of this room, God, different than we came in because we had an encounter with the living God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, in thinking about kind of going, setting up where we're heading here in Romans chapter 10. My son's in second grade, just finished in second grade. I guess now they're heading into the next school year. But he's, you know, made friends while he's at school. And, you know, what can happen when you have friends and you start to develop friends is they figure out, how do they talk to each other? How do they communicate with one another? And so in our household, our kids don't have cell phones or tablets or things of that nature for them that they can communicate kind of with the outside world. And so we're reserving that till they're much older. But we are holding on to that. But we also just want them to be able to talk with friends that they have. And so they went back to kind of the age-old kind of being a pen pal. And so Joshua, our second grader, has got a friend named Nora. And so she had written Josh some notes, some letters, right, that she wanted him to see. And there's some Minecraft figurines. They talk a lot about Minecraft, my son and his friend here. And so she is just saying she cannot absolutely wait, right, for them to hang out and to spend time together. And here's what I think about this is his friend Nora, she had a message that she really wanted Joshua to receive. And she was trying to figure out, how can I get it to him? And so, you know, she could walk down, you know, to the house. They don't live next to each other. They live a little bit further away. But there's a sense of, how can I get this to him? And so she did what many of us may do if we're trying to get some news to somebody that we can't, you know, call or message. We're going to write him a letter. We're going to write him a note. And so she drew up the note. She put it in an envelope. She got it stamped, walked it out to the mailbox. The mail carrier came and picked it up, right? And then they take it to some kind of sorting facility. And then they figure out, where does this message need to go? And they put it in and they get it to the route, the mail person who's going to go and take it to the person. They drive it up, and then they open it up. They put it in our mailbox, and then we walk out to the mailbox. We open it up. We see, oh, there's a message here for Joshua, and we see who it's from, and he's all excited. He can't wait to read what his friend Nora has written to him. And the reason why I think about all the kind of steps it took to get that message there, but every step along the way involved a person. All right, it involved a person writing the note, handing it off, somebody getting the note, processing the note, handing it to somebody else, to ultimately getting it to us. And as I think about that, I think that's exactly how the gospel works for you and me. That if this gospel is good news, and what we want to really see today is that the gospel, it moves to people through people. The gospel moves to people through people. What really that means is that the way that God has decided in kind of his sovereignty, that he's in control, he could kind of do whatever he wants to do, but the way that God decided to be able to spread his message about himself, about his son, the way that he decided to do that was by taking people like you and me and seeing it go from person to person to person. That the gospel moves to other people through people. You see, God could have decided to write it in the sky. Hey, believe in Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus died for you. Like, he could have done that. Like, every morning, wake up and there it is. You know, he could have, like, beamed a message into our brains, you know, where we just hear God talking, like, hello, I'm God. I sent Jesus. He loves you. He wants to rescue you from, like, he could talk to us, like, audibly and hear us in our heads. It'd be a little weird at times. You're like, what's going on here? But God, he could do that. He could do anything, right? He could, you know, write a note in the cornfields as you're driving by and kind of describe to us what's going on there, like, you know, the movie Signs from a long time ago, right? There's lots of ways that God could decide to say, how do I want them to know about me? But the primary way that he's decided for that message to go is by people like me and you sharing that with somebody else. You see, we're all in here today because somebody told us about LifePoint. You're sitting here because somebody said, hey, I go to church, would you come with me? Or, hey, I found this church. Or, hey, I'm going to check out this new church. Or, hey, I'm meeting here, would you want to come here? You maybe saw an advertisement on, you know, social media, or somebody sharing something on social media, or you got a text message or a phone call, or you just drove by and saw it, but somehow you heard about this place and you decided to come, right? And so we hear about things because people tell us about it, right? And so why should it not surprise us that God has also decided that the way that he wants the message about himself to spread is from people like you and me sharing that message from person to person to person? And maybe sometimes like this, where one person shares it to many, but really, I want you to know the heartbeat behind what we want to be about as a church is, yes, what we do right here is important. It matters. Like, we spend a lot of time thinking and praying over, like, what our services and what our Sundays are like. But this is not the main event, right? This isn't what your whole week is meant to culminate in coming together and gathering as a church, but really the main ministry is what we get to do when we leave here. When you get to go home into your neighborhood, into your workplaces, you know, to your travel sports, to your rec sports, to your family, that you get to go, that you get to be in more places tomorrow than I could ever be at once, right? And I'm limited. We're limited, but yet the vastness and the breadth that we get to go as God's people, right? It far exceeds what I could do by myself, what you could do by ourselves, by yourself. And so if the business we're about is about saying, how can we help this message about Jesus make its way to every nook and cranny around the world? It starts with you and I going and making a decision to say, hey, how can I be a part of that? And because that's what we're thinking, where I believe Paul is going to show us in Romans 10, is really kind of the heart behind that. And so what we're going to see is that as we go, or that the reason why we go is so that people can know, that they can know about Jesus. And that when we go, we should not be surprised that people are going to say no to this message about Jesus, but that we get to grow as we go and tell others about Jesus. So let's go ahead. If you've got a Bible, let's go to Romans 10, looking at verse 14, and we're going to start and see our first point here today is that we go so that others can know. We go so others can know. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so what Paul is trying to do is using a little bit of some deductive reasoning, some logic here. And so what Paul is doing is he's helping us to see kind of the chain of progression that is really impacted by our going. And so the reason why the church sends people out is so ultimately that people can know and follow Jesus, is so that people can hear about Jesus. So they can, because right, he starts with, how can they call on him in whom they do not believe? And then how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless somebody preaches? And how can they preach unless they are sent? In essence, he's saying, hey, if we want to see people transformed by Jesus, how is that going to happen if people don't go? That people don't share. You see, if the end result is people giving their lives and following Jesus, then that means that people have to be sent to go and do that. And that calling on him that he says, it's really has this heart behind, like somebody is, imagine somebody drowning and they're calling out for help. They're crying out for help. Help me, save me. It kind of has this essence of saying, hey, I'm in trouble and I need help. Think of the last time you were in need of some help. Right, that you had made a mistake, you know, something had happened with your car, and you're like, I can't do this, or you found yourself in a, you know, a bad, some sort of just messy situation. You needed help, and what did you do? My guess is you picked up your phone and you called somebody, you texted somebody, you reached out to somebody, and that's what he's saying here, is that people around us are hurting, that they really are broken, like sin has a real impact, that even though on the outside it may look like everything is great, that their lives are amazing, they've got wonderful kids, but you go behind, you dig a little deeper, and you open up the doors, you peel back the layers, and you see that they're just as broken and messed up as we are, as you are, as I am, and that we need help. We need help, and we ultimately want to find people that really, the solution to their problems, it starts with Jesus. Now, does that mean that Jesus is going to solve your situation and, you know, change the, you know, circumstances of your life? Maybe not. But what he will do is he will change the person that's in those situations. And what can begin to happen is as you and I begin to change, we begin to see the world differently. That perhaps the thing that we're going through, while it may be hard and difficult, it doesn't compare to the eternal weight of glory that awaits us as we are with God forever in heaven. Or maybe what we put so much value in now, it's not as bad because it doesn't matter as much to us because we have a different outlook on life. You see, the reason why we go and tell others about Jesus is because it changes us. It changes who we are. It changes how we see the world. And so how then can they call on him if they've never believed in him? if they've never understood who Jesus is and why he came. That you may hear, man, Jesus loves me, God loves me, Jesus died for my sins, but what does it really mean? What is sin? Is sin just some word in the Bible? I don't know that I see it out in the world around me, but really sin is this idea that we've messed up, we've done wrong, we've disobeyed not just ourselves and the people around us, but we've disobeyed God. We've not followed and done life according to his standards. We've said, hey, I think I know how I should run my life best, and I'm gonna do what I want to do. And we've walked away, we've rejected God, and that's brought about brokenness and death in our lives. But the good news is that God has made out a solution for our brokenness and our pain. And he sent Jesus to be a part of helping to not just save us from our sin, but to give us a new life, that we become new creations, that we live differently because we've been made differently by Jesus. And so he wants us to believe in him, that this isn't when we talk about putting your faith in Jesus, we're not saying you need to have a blind faith, that what we believe isn't something that is backed up with evidence or things of that we can put confidence in, that it's just, hey, it's just like, hey, just step out and hope something's there. It's not a blind belief. That we have so much confidence that what's been passed down to us through the scriptures is reliable, right? That it points to realities that are true. That there's great evidences and reasons for why we should believe there is a God and that he loves us and that there was a person named Jesus who lived on earth and was born in Nazareth and that he really did die on a cross and that he really did raise from the grave. And if those things are true, then what we believe isn't just a fairy tale, but it's nonfiction. It's true. It's real. That we believe in a real God who really died for you and me. So how can they call on him if they don't believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And so he's going to begin to help us to see that part of what we get to do is we get to go and help other people hear about Jesus. That we get to tell others about Jesus. And he says, how can they hear unless somebody preaches? And this is where you may look at it and say, Lee, I'm not a preacher, right? I don't have a microphone. I don't have a platform. I don't have a stage. I'm not on staff. Like, I'm not a preacher. But really what that word is just saying is somebody who's just declaring and sharing the good news of Jesus. It's somebody that's just helping people to understand who God is. They're just, in essence, sharing their faith. And so don't reduce that to, oh, you've got to be on staff, or you have to be ordained, or you have to go to seminary, or you have to go with whatever it may be to be what we think of as a preacher. You see, if you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you as a follower of Jesus, and you have a testimony about how God has changed your life, you have all that you need to communicate the good news of Jesus to others. That you can study the Bible for yourself and that you can begin to share what God is teaching you through his word to others, that you are qualified as a follower of Jesus to do that. And so how can they preach unless they are sent? And this is where we as a church, we really believe that God's plan A for the gospel going to the nations is by the church sending people out on a weekly basis, but it's also why we exist here, is that LifePoint came to this conclusion that we want Central Ohio to be transformed by the good news of Jesus. And so the way that we can do that is by sending people out to start new campuses and churches and to be a part of seeing that good news transform a people in a place. And that's why we're here today, is because of that. And the good news is that we want to see that continue to go. It's why we want to start new life groups in new places and new neighborhoods and new communities. And we want to one day see new campuses and new churches come out of the people sitting right here in this room, because they're saying, hey, we want to go so that more people can know Jesus and follow after him. We want more people, the way that we say it, is to draw life from God and to point others to him. Life point. To draw life and to point others to him. See, how can they preach unless they are sent? And so I want you to see that when we leave here every day, that you are being sent out as a people to go and to live out your faith and to share it with those around you. That you are sent, because people will not believe in Jesus unless you and I tell them about him. Yes, maybe some miracle, God may do something to them, but the main way God has decided to do that is by you and I opening up our mouths and sharing about them with others. You see, I love, there's a guy who has done a lot of college ministry. His name is Brian Zuniga, and I ran across a quote from him, and he said, when we share the gospel, people will be saved. People will trust in Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean every time we share. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But he says, when we share the gospel, people will put their faith in Jesus. But he also says, if we do not share our faith or share Jesus with others, people will not believe. And so there's a correlation between whether we share, people believing, and whether we don't share, people not believing. And here's what I mean by that. People will not believe in Jesus, hear about Jesus, trust in Jesus, if they don't hear about Jesus. And that's what Paul's trying to help them to see, is how are they going to hear? By you and I going. But he doesn't want us to be surprised, because it's not going to be easy all the time. He says this when we go to verse 16, is that we go knowing that others will say no. Paul says this in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Paul is referencing Isaiah, who's a prophet in the Old Testament. And prophets were people who God would speak through to help declare to them what he has said. Thus says the Lord. In essence, they were speaking on the very behalf of God. We don't have to have prophets nowadays because we've got the Bible. The Bible tells us what God has said and done. But at this time, they didn't quite have the written tradition like you and I do as accessible. And so God would use people and he would speak through them and they would declare what God is up to and what he's telling them to do. Because it was often involved, hey, you're doing bad things. You need to repent and to trust and follow me. And so what Isaiah is saying is, hey, when I say this, people don't always believe me. That's where he says this, right? He says, Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? In essence, he's saying, who's believing us? I look around and people are rejecting our message. That's why Paul says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And here's why I think this is so important for you and I. Because I want you to be excited about sharing your faith and talking about Jesus with others. But I also don't want you to be surprised that when you do that, and people aren't as excited as you are, that people will say, I'm not interested. Man, that's just a bunch of baloney, right? I believe in what you can see and touch, and that's all about faith. And I don't live like that. Man, don't you know that this stuff is made up? You can't trust it. And I want to go like, man, the Bible is so constricting, right? It's a bunch of rules. And I'm out. I don't want that. And so what Paul is trying to help us to see is that we're going to experience people that don't believe in it and aren't as excited, that people are going to say no to it. But I think here's why that's important, because when we get excited and we share and it doesn't go well, guess what happens? We're not as excited to share the next time. And so what we can end up doing is saying, well, they didn't like it. I had a bad experience, so I'm not going to do it again. It's kind of like you go and order food from somewhere and they mess up the order, right? You may not go back to the restaurant, but that doesn't mean you're going to stop eating, right? You're going to keep eating food. You see, just because we have maybe an experience where we talk about our faith with someone and they're not as excited about it, that doesn't mean that, well, I tried. I don't got to do it anymore. See, Paul is trying to help us to see that people are not always going to believe it. And just because they say no doesn't mean that you stop saying yes to being faithful to God, to do what he's called you to do, to be his witnesses, to share about him with others. Because what can happen when you and I say yes to God? When we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to go and share about this good news about what Jesus has done, and I'm going to trust that you're going to do a work in and through me in the midst of that, that you're going before me, that I'm going to trust, God, that it's not up to me to save somebody, but it's only up to me just to share about you with other people. You know, what's on the other side of that? Really cool story for Michelle and I. We were part of a campus ministry, and a lot of what we would do in college, for me later in college when I was actually following Jesus, is we would go sharing. We would go and have conversations with people on college campus, and then even when we did college ministry, this would kind of be a part of our conversation. And we would go and we would have conversations, and we'd try to share Jesus with people. And sometimes it wouldn't go well, and sometimes it would go amazingly, and people would put their faith in Jesus. We were at a training event where somebody was sharing about an experience they had, and I love that he shared this story. He said there had been a day where he'd been on campus sharing and having conversations, and it had not been a good day. He had a lot of no's, a lot of like people that were very mean and kind of just like hostile, and it just did not go well. And he was very discouraged. He was like, man, I was kind of at the end of it. I was exhausted. I was tired. I'd been walking across campus. It was hot, and I was just done for the day. And so he goes to sit on a bench at their campus, and there's a student sitting next to him there. And the student, just being nice, just says, hey, what are you up to today? And he just takes kind of the gospel track that he had been sharing and kind of walking people, talking. He just hands it to him, just says, here, Doesn't say what it is. Hi, my name is so, like nothing, just hands it to him. And then just kind of goes back to just feeling just kind of depressed and, you know, bummed about the day and discouraged and just like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Like, what, you know, this has not gone well. And I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And, you know, it's all of these negative thoughts going on. Then he looks over a few minutes later and the guy is sitting there and he's got his eyes closed and he's got his hands folded together and he is praying, asking Jesus to forgive him of his sins. And he is like, what is going on? Like, what's happening here? I didn't share anything with this person. He's like, I've been the worst witness you could be. I just handed it to him and said, here, that's it. And this guy's eternity is being changed by that. And I can't help but think that while he maybe wasn't the most, like, you know, greatest example in terms of sharing, but what he points to is this reality, is that success in sharing our faith isn't whether or not people trust in Jesus. It's just about being obedient. It's about doing what God has called us to do and let God do what God does. God doesn't need you and I to save people, but he invites us into the journey to do that. You see, the way that God wants people to hear about him is by you and I helping them get access to that, by people hearing and responding to the gospel. And so as I think of that story, there are times when I go back and say, man, there have been times I've been horrible at talking about my faith, or I haven't even opened up my mouth. But I can't help but think, but what if this person, they hadn't decided to hand them that gospel? Like what's on the other side of obedience for you and I? That if we would just say yes to God, whatever it may be, and trust that on the other side of that obedience, there's something there. There's a reward of some kind. And here's what, not like some material reward, but there's some evidence, some consequence, if you would, of God doing something that we get to be a part of. All because we said yes. That we get to be a part of seeing people's lives being changed because of people like you and me just saying yes to God. So what's on the other side of obedience for you and me? Kingdom success is measured differently than earthly success. That if we just step out in faith, trusting God, that's what success looked like. Not in the number of people in your life group or the amount of people that say yes, or it's not about conversions. It's just about being faithful and trusting that as we do that, God will take care of the fruitfulness of that. Because here's what happens as we go. We grow. We grow as we go. Verse 17, Paul says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As you think about how do we grow in our faith? Well, he's saying we grow in our faith as the word of Christ comes into our lives. And so as we share, faith comes from hearing. And so again, faith is just this reality that you and I are putting our trust in something. That's what faith is. It's trusting in. It's an object. It has something that we're trusting in. I like to talk about, like you've heard this before, the chair that you're sitting in. You're putting faith in it, right? You've examined it. You're looking at it. But how do we know you put faith in it? Because you took a step, an action to sit in it. And it's not just an object that you trust in, but it's what you're trusting the object to do for you. And you're trusting in the chair that it holds you up. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, how do we put our faith? How do we have our object of our faith being Jesus? And what are we trusting him to do for us? To pay for and to save us from our sin. Which is why we're calling out, because we need to be rescued. You see, how can we put our faith in Jesus if we don't hear about Jesus? And how do we hear about Jesus? He says, through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so what ends up happening is for you and me is to keep growing and letting the word of Christ dwell in our hearts, to teach us, to encourage us. We meditate on it. We learn it. We share it. We let the word of Christ come into our lives. I love how one pastor says is we want to get into the word until the word gets into us. You see, because what we put in and what we consume, it comes out of us. You know this, right? Like, you know, like what you end up talking about are the things that you're putting into your life, you know, whether it's shows or movies or music or what you see, right? Whatever you're taking in, you end up talking about it with others. Whatever you experience, we share with others. And maybe one of the reasons that we struggle with sharing with others about our faith is we're not letting the word of Christ come into our lives that much. There's not much to come out of us, that if you squeeze us, a lot of Jesus doesn't spew out of us because we're not letting his word come into our lives. And so if you would say, hey, Lee, this is an area that I want to grow in, I've got some good news is that over the summer, we're going to be starting a brand new series called Practicing, the Art of Becoming More Like Jesus, where we're going to take every week and just talk about what are some disciplines that we can put into our lives that are meant to help you and I grow in our faith, to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We'll talk about things like how do you meditate and study on God's word? Why is that important? Why is serving, how does serving help us grow? How is generosity a part of that? How does fasting help us to grow in our faith? What's that look like? And Sabbath, this idea of resting. And so we're just going to look at some various disciplines that throughout church history, people have looked at to try to help them to become more like Jesus. Now, doing these disciplines, they don't make you a Christian, right? But they just help us as followers of Jesus grow in our faith because we're wanting the word of Christ to dwell in us. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. You see, because ministry is meant to be an overflow of our intimacy with Jesus. Vance Pittman, a pastor in Las Vegas, had said that years ago, and it just stood with me, that ministry is meant to be an overflow out of our intimacy with Jesus. You see, what is meant to come out of us is a result of what we put in. And so if we want Jesus to come out of us, we've got to put Jesus in. We've got to be taking in his word. That's why we love our life groups. They just kicked off this last week. If you're not in one, we'd love for you to check one out this summer. We've got catalogs out in the lobby. Grab one of those. And we want it to be a community that helps you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. You cannot give to others what you're not living yourself. So if we want you to be living and sharing your faith, that means you've got to be growing your faith by walking with Jesus. So in summary, we've talked about how the gospel moves to people through people. That we go so that others can know about Jesus, but we shouldn't be surprised when we go that people will say no to Jesus. And we grow as we go, and we tell others about Jesus. So as I think about and go back to, you know, this letter that Josh has from his friend Nora, and she's writing this to him, and I just can't help but think about how personal it is, right? That she's got, like, his name and her name on there, that there's a lot of intentionality around the message that's there and the pictures and time that was thought about to be there, and I can't help but think about for you and me that there's got to be people in your life and my life that we want to see their lives changed by Jesus. And to think about there are going to be people that maybe you don't know them yet, but you're going to meet them this year. You don't know where they're at, what's going on in their world, but somehow God is going to line it up for your life and their life to intersect. And what if the reason God is allowing your paths to cross is so that you could help them to know Jesus? Maybe you're here today because somebody has said, hey, I want you to know Jesus. And maybe the way they've done this, hey, come to LifePoint, come to church. And maybe you're here today realizing that my life needs to intersect with Jesus' life, that I want my life to be transformed by him. And so I want you to think about how could God use you this next year to go, to be a part of living on mission, to living with some intentionality this year. I think one of the questions is I've got up here is who in your life needs to hear about Jesus? Maybe it's a loved one, a close friend, maybe it's a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, but who is it in your life that you would say, hey, I want them to know Jesus this year? And I want you to think about for just a moment, what if the way God wants them to hear about Jesus is you telling them about Jesus? Well, Lee, I don't know. Like, that's going to be an awkward, how, am I just going to bring it up? Like, that's, you know, there's awkward conversation. How do I just introduce Jesus into it? Or I don't know enough. I'm struggling myself. And I'm not even reading my Bible. Like, how could God use me? And I would just say, if you just know anything about the Bible, what you'll see is over and over again, God takes these broken, imperfect people that have lots of excuses for God not to use them. And what they did is they said, God, you can use me. I'll say yes. And God uses them to do amazing things. He used murderers, adulterers, people who ran away from him, people who disowned him. And you think your life is like, there's some people that like their lives are messed up, and yet God still used them because they were just willing to say, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. How might God use you this next year to be a part of that? Maybe it's you going and having that conversation. Maybe it's you signing up for a trip this next year and saying, hey, I want to go and maybe see where God may lead us to go to Argentina or Uganda or Japan or Puerto Rico and just say, Lord, I want to go and have an opportunity to help share and spread your message with others. But to say, God, how might he use you to be a part of that? And so as we just wrap up, I want to share just some other questions for you and I to process. The first one we just read, who needs to hear about Jesus? The other one is just, what is God telling you to do? What do you get the sense that God is telling you, is putting on your heart? You're sitting here, you've been sitting here maybe for a few weeks, and you just get the sense that the Lord is moving you to take a step to do something. Maybe it's to have that conversation at Next Steps. That like, man, I need to talk about what does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe it's saying, I need to get in a life group. I've been putting it off, but I know the Lord's saying you need to be in that. Maybe it's serving, or maybe it's saying, Lord, there's a trip out there that I want you to be a part of, or just whatever it is, what do you sense that the Lord is telling you to take a step to do? And here's what I want you to do. Ask God to give you courage to step out in faith with that. Bring some other believers into that. Say, hey, I think the Lord is telling me to do this. And let them, the good thing is we get to do it in a community. They say, let's go and do it. Let me help you do that thing. But what step do you feel like God's calling you to take? And how can you take it? The last question is, maybe you're here today and you're faced with this question is, will you reject Jesus or will you believe and receive him? Are you going to be one of the people that Paul mentioned that they have not all obeyed the gospel? But maybe today is a day where you stop running from Jesus and you run towards Jesus. Maybe today is a day where you receive that you've heard it, that you're believing it, that you're going to call out to him and you want to trust in him. And let me just do, if you're like, Lee, I don't even know how to have this conversation. Here's the way that I have it with countless people. And it's just helped me over the years. I've shared it in here, but I want to share it now just to give you maybe a way to bring that up. As I'll just say, hey, I've had somebody ask me this question. It changed my life. Could I ask you? And they, oh, sure. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you were to die today, how sure are you that you would spend eternity with God in heaven? Scale of 1 to 10. You had to give yourself a number. What would you put? 0 to 1 is like, I doubt it. 10 is absolutely certain, 100% no doubt that I'm spending eternity with God in heaven and to see where that conversation goes. And so I want to ask you that question. And so just to do that, I want to give us a chance to process. So would you close your eyes with me and bow your heads? And here's how I want you to think about it. Is if I'm asking this question, right? We're just sitting down, you and me. It's just you and I, right? Don't worry about anybody else in here. But it's just you and I. And if you were to say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure am I, how certain am I of where I would spend eternity, that I would be with God in heaven forever? If you were to say, hey, Lee, I think the number I would give myself is it would be a 0 to a 4. 0 to 4. Like, man, I'm not proud of my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. It's not been great. I'm not very confident. Lee, I think it's a 0 to 4, somewhere in that range. If that's you, would you just say, hey, raise your hand, just say, hey, that's me. I'm probably a 0, 1 to 4, somewhere in that range. Okay? You can put your hands down. If maybe you think of your life and you're like, okay, Lee, like, I've not been terrible, not been great, kind of somewhere in the middle. You say, hey, Lee, a number I would give myself is maybe somewhere between 5 and 7. If you would say, hey, that's me, raise your hand. If you say, I'm somewhere between 5 and 7, that's where I put my life. I've tried to do good. I've tried to be better. But I know that I still got room to grow. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. If you would say, hey, Lee, I feel like I'm putting some better rhythms in my life. I'm practicing. I'm trying to be better at it. You know, I'd probably say I'm somewhere between 8 and 9. If you would say, that's me, I'm an 8 or 9, would you raise your hand and say, hey, that's kind of where I'm at. Okay, thank you. Let's put your hands down. So here's what I want you to think about for a moment. If you raise your hand anywhere from a 1, 0 to a 9, let me tell you this out of love, is that there's some part of your faith that you're leaving dependent upon you, that it's up to you to determine where you spend eternity. And while I would say we have a decision in that, the great and good news of the gospel is Jesus came to give you and I confidence to know for certain where we're going to spend eternity. And guess what it's not up to? It's not up to your work and what you do, but it's up to Jesus and what he has already done for you on the cross. And so what he wants you to know in 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you can know that you have eternal life. Verses right before that, that if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. Jesus wants you and I to know that if we put our faith and trust in him, that we can have certainty about our eternity. Not because it's dependent upon you being the best Christian you can be so that God saves you, but because you believe that Jesus died for you and your confidence is in that, that Christ lived a life you could not live. He died the death that you deserve and he rose to new life, giving you that life. And you have your faith and trust in that. When he said, "It is finished," you believe it counted for you. And here's what that does. That frees you and I to now live a life of purpose, walking with him and trying to walk faithfully with him, but knowing that our confidence and our faith is not up to us, but it's on Jesus. And so God, I just want to pray that over us here, that anybody that would say, hey, that's been me, that maybe I've been putting some confidence in myself and my own ability to live the Christian life or trying to be the best kind of person I can be. But Lord, I want to today walk out of here knowing that I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ for me. That I want to believe and follow Jesus wherever he leads me because he died for me. He's rescued me and I owe and I want to give my life to him forever. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' good name. Amen.